just got a little better, thanks to Merryman Earns.
It's time for tips, trends, and fun facts. Did you know that there are three forms of omega-3 fats? DHA, or docosahexaenoic acid, EPA, eicosapentaenoic acid, and ALA, alpha-linolenic acid. The DHA and the EPA generally come from fish. ALA comes from botanicals like flaxseed. Some interesting tips. Did you know all nutrients are divided into two categories? Macronutrients, protein, carbohydrates, water, and fats. And then micronutrients, which include all vitamins and minerals. The temperature can affect your appetite. If you're cold, you're more prone to eat more food, hence the reason many people gain weight over the winter months. 3,500 calories are needed to make 1 pound. Conversely, you need to cut or burn 3,500 calories to lose 1 pound of weight. The average person swallows approximately 250 times during dinner. And this is kind of gross, but did you know the USDA allows up to 30 insect fragments per 100 grams of peanut butter? I think it's another reason to switch to almond butter. If you gained weight in your early 20s or later, you have an increased risk of heart disease, cancer, infertility, gallstones, and asthma. In the news, a 2015 January 28th scientific report issued by the Dietary Guidelines Advisory Committee found that approximately half of the U.S. adult population does not get enough vitamin A, C, D, E, and magnesium. And the higher body mass index, the more nutrients the body needs. In addition, the study identified 10 shortfall nutrients or nutrients that are underconsumed. There are recommendations that eggs and coffee are okay and that the environmental impact of food should be considered when choosing foods. The overall body of evidence examined by the 2015 DGAC identifies that a healthy dietary plan is higher in vegetables, fruits, whole grains, low or non-fat dairy, seafood, legumes like beans and so forth, and nuts, moderate in alcohol among adults, lower in red and processed meat, and low in sugar-sweetened foods and drinks and refined grains. Today we have with us Cheryl Myers, Chief of Scientific Affairs and Education with Europharma. Cheryl, how are you today?
I am wonderful. Thank you for having me.
Oh, well, it's always our pleasure to have you on the show. We've been talking a lot about curcumin, and I think this segment we're going to kind of finalize everything and get it all wrapped up. But we've talked about curcumin as far as it taking care of cancer and helping with all of that. Also how good it is for your brain and mood, you know, the Alzheimer's and so forth, and uplifting your mood. We've talked about what to look for, the quality, the BCM95 formulations, and we've also talked, you know, for pain relief and so forth. But curcumin does a lot more. Just to kind of get started, I know the one thing I like about it, because, you know, you usually look at a pain reliever and it damages your liver. They almost all damage your liver. And it's like, you know, why take something that you know, kind of throws the baby out with the bathwater? You gain something, you lose something. But curcumin is actually good for your liver, and I think it's also good for your lungs. Tell me a little bit more about that.
Well, you know, curcumin does so many things in the body. It's really, as you said, it almost sounds too good to be true because it works on so many systems, and that's because it works on such a basic level. And curcumin is an incredibly powerful anti-inflammatory compound. When we look at the top 30 causes of death in America, if we take out those that are self-inflicted, like car accidents and such,
Right. Every
one of them has as a significant root cause chronic inflammation. So when you look how chronic inflammation plays itself out, when you look at, for example, heart disease, and we look at chronic inflammation, when you look at lung disease, often a significant component is chronic inflammation. And when you look at liver disease, the same is true. Additionally, curcumin is a super potent antioxidant. And when you look at some of the causes of many of the chronic conditions in America, you'll see that oxidative stress, long-term oxidative stress and oxidative damage plays a significant role in disease development.
Curcumin, oh, yeah, we read about that all the time. Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
So curcumin is particularly good at alleviating a lot of that oxidative stress. But the third thing that people don't talk about with curcumin as frequently is the fact that it is so healthy for the liver and encourages the liver to make more bile.
Whoa. Wow, because that's kind of, you know, the bile is where your body dumps a lot of toxins. So obviously, you know, it also aids in digestion and digestion of fats and so forth. But Your body puts a lot of toxins into that bile, and then, of course, then you can evacuate it. But that's real interesting. So it's actually an anti-inflammatory, super antioxidant, and it's cleansing then? Is that what you're telling me?
It is. It promotes liver detoxification in a couple of different ways. Well, number one, curcumin relieves inflammation that may be in the liver if you do have some issue going on with the liver, regardless of what that issue might be. So it helps to alleviate some of that stress on the liver. But it also helps to improve the ability to take compounds out of the body and dump them in with the waste in our colon as the food train comes along so that it can carry all these toxins out of the station. And part of the way that it does that is by helping to
I like how you said that, Cheryl, out of the station. I gotta laugh on that one. That I'll have to use that one, taking it out of the station.
That's yes. So when we look at the ability of curcumin to help improve the creation of bile, that's very, very important because bile transports these toxins from the liver to the intestines. And the always say is if you've got a huge crowd of people, you know, the more transporter vehicles you have, the faster you can move them. And that's what we want to do in our liver, because when I'm talking to customers or when I'm talking to patients and I say, think of your liver as a parking garage.
Right.
Or the parking lot.
Right.
You know, and if all the spaces are full, what happens? Well, you just keep driving around the road until a parking spot occurs. Well, in our body, we don't want that to happen. Let's say that you've been exposed to some kind of a toxin accidentally.
Which we are every day, I think. You can't avoid it.
Which we are every day.
Right.
And let's say you are, and how long do you want that to drive around the highway before it gets taken out of circulation?
Oh, man, I want it out right away.
Absolutely, because the more time that circulates through your body, the more you're exposing every single cell in your body to its toxic and negative effects.
Right. And then, of course, you know, our fat absorbs a lot of toxins, and if you've got a lot floating around, I would think your body would have a tendency to build up even more and store even more just because it has to.
So you really want to keep that parking lot as clear as possible so that you keep things moving. And that's one of the beauties of curcumin is that by helping the liver to be healthier and by improving the amount of transporter vehicles, by improving the amount of bile it creates, we can keep that parking lot open so that things don't have to drive around on the highway nearly as much. And they can pull into the liver and be taken out of circulation. Another thing curcumin does is that it helps the liver to make a very important compound called glutathione.
Oh, yeah. And I think we're going to talk, you sell a supplement now, your company does, that is actually phenomenal. It's a sublingual. I've been dealing with that. We'll talk about that in the future. But tell me a little bit about how, so curcumin actually pushes that pathway then, huh?
It does. And glutathione is absolutely required for liver detoxification.
Oh, yeah, when
regardless of what you're exposed to, and sometimes it's our own body's waste we're trying to get rid of, like old beat-up hormones that we don't need anymore.
Right.
Women sometimes have estrogens that are no longer functional, and we want to get those out before they start causing damage.
Oh, sure.
Oxidized cholesterol your body wants to get rid of. So there's things that your body wants to get rid of. It's not just toxins from outside the body. It's things within the body that needs to be taken to the liver. And it goes through a two-step process called phase one and phase two
chironidation. Right. I'm familiar with that. I remember learning about that in college 100
well,
years ago.
Well, it turns out that you cannot perform phase two glucuronidation without adequate amounts of glutathione.
Right, right.
So to have an herbal that helps the liver to improve how much glutathione it makes, and milk thistle improves glutathione production in the liver as well. That's another reason it's so healthy for the liver.
And a supplement like NAC and acetylcysteine, because that's got your cysteine in there, which is a component of the glutathione.
So when you put that all together, that really, really helps to promote liver detoxification.
You know what? You just mentioned phase two liver detoxification. I know some of my customers and some of the clients and then the patients, the doctor's patients that I work with, they actually will do like taking a silver hydrosol or what we used to call the old colloidal silver. And your body actually, your liver actually can rid your body of that silver hydrosol during the phase two detoxification. So obviously upping or enabling your liver to have the glutathione. And of course, we know that helps helps to rid heavy metals out of your body, but then you really don't have to worry at all about when you supplement or use the silver hydrosol, because it's very easily taken out of your body during that phase too. And if you're taking the curcumin in addition, then there's really no worries at all about ever becoming a blue man. And I think that was because they were getting basically impure and, you know, making their own homemade stuff and so forth, where you can get impure salts and other heavy metals in there.
That's an interesting thought. I hadn't thought about that. But, you know, one of the things when we look at the ability of curcumin to help alleviate inflammation, when you alleviate inflammation in the liver, you can help prevent liver scarring. That's, you know, called, you know,
cirrhosis.
The sclerosing that happens.
Right, right.
Liver, and we don't want that to happen.
No. But, it's permanent.
Our liver is a very important organ. I always joke and say, you know, the heart gets an entire holiday on Valentine's Day.
Right.
We need to have a liver day for everything that our wonderful, wonderful liver does for us. But I don't know which holiday that would be. But
I don't know. It's our body's filter. I don't know what holiday the filter day. Maybe
absolutely.
Right after Flag Day then, huh?
You know, if you didn't have a liver, if you took an over-the-counter drug or a prescription drug,
right,
it would never leave your body. It would just circulate forever. If you didn't have a liver, if you went out with the guys some night and decided to have a margarita, that tequila would stay in your body forever. So, you know,
that wouldn't be so good, I don't think.
I don't think
trying
so
to go into work
either.
The next day would be a little difficult.
I think we need to show our liver some love, because it plays a lot of role in lots of different types of health issues. And if you have had some stress on your liver,
I think we all have,
or alcohol issues in the past, or you've had hepatitis B or hepatitis A or hepatitis C.
Right.
When you've had, or perhaps you've had to be on a prescription drug for a very long time. Maybe you have a seizure disorder. Some of those anti-seizure medications are pretty taxing on the liver.
Yes, yes.
I think it's always a good idea to show your liver some love and help support it with something like good, healthy curcumin.
Well, you know, that's real interesting, because, you know, most of the customers and people that I deal with are taking the curcumin for pain. But again, it's so exciting to think you could actually be taking it, and probably you'd want to just take maybe the BCM 95 Pure. I think you're branding that as the Curamed, but maybe the Pure formulation if you're not really concerned about pain, but just maybe taking it. Actually, you could be taking this as a liver cleanse then. Is that what you're telling me?
I don't know if I would exactly call it a cleanse.
Right.
Because it cleanse
support.
Almost sounds like an occasional thing you do with the change of the seasons. But it does have a cleansing benefit, that curcumin does play an incredibly important role in helping the liver to process, take out the trash. It helps the liver to take out the trash. And gosh, don't we need that every single
day? So it's kind of something, because I like taking it every day due to the anti-inflammatory properties. And as you know, you've already told us that if you keep inflammation down, it reduces heart disease, cancer, and arthritis. I mean, the big three. So we know how effective that is. But also at the same time, then you're helping your liver to, you know, support your liver even more and get that antioxidant effect. Okay, we were talking about trains. I know I took 20 curcumin one day, and I kind of had a fast train going there out of the depot. So, but anyway, curcumin's also really good for digestive disorders. I've heard that it's beneficial for everything from ulcerative colitis to Crohn's to even helping beneficial. We've talked about the cancer, irritable bowel, and there's some other, you know, it's adenomatosis polyposis, I think, which is the precancerous polyps. It helps to reduce those. Tell me a little bit more about that. I'm real curious about how good this is, because usually, you know, we talk about aspirin or something, and you end up, oh, you got to worry about ulcers and so forth. So this anti-inflammatory, and I know you and I have joked a little bit about this, because when this first came out, a lot of doctors were saying, oh, don't take this. It's going to tear up your stomach. You're going to get ulcers, because they were thinking of it as all the other anti-inflammatories. And this is different. Curcumin is different. Why and how? I'm excited about this. So it's good for your digestion.
Absolutely. You know, when we look at how over-the-counter drugs work and some prescription drugs work to alleviate inflammation, when I'm talking to patients, I say, think of inflammation as a river. It's not just one thing.
Right.
Many things contribute to the river. There's all kinds of little brooks and streams and rivulets and runoff that contributes to the river. And, you know, if you live on the banks of the river, you don't want the river to be too low, because you won't have enough water to water your crops or to take care of your family. But gosh, if that river gets too high, it's going to flood the banks and wash away your home and maybe imperil your life.
Right.
So where do you want that liver to be? You want it to be right in the middle.
Right.
Neither too high nor too low. And that's what we want with inflammation. We want it neither too high nor too low. So when we look at what affects inflammation, all these little streams that feed inflammation, there's several of them that contribute to raising the level of the river.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that drugs work is they go towards, they drop a nuclear device on this major stream.
Mm-hmm.
And this is generally the COX-2 stream.
Right.
And that's what it's called, cyclocooxygenase-2. So for all of our chemistry students out in listener land that want to know the full name of it. So this stream, when you drop a nuclear device on it, you wipe it out. And does the river go down? You bet. And that's why drugs like ibuprofen and naproxen and Celebrex.
Celebrex is one that came to my mind, yeah.
Right. That's why they sell billions of dollars, is because it does work. When you take that inflammation down, it does alleviate the pain.
But doesn't another channel maybe, where's all that water got to go?
The problem is that Mother Nature doesn't like it when you wipe out one of her streams.
Right.
That's called an enzyme system. And when you not drop a nuclear device on an enzyme system, you have all kinds of really nasty backstream effects, like ulcers, like gastrointestinal bleeding.
Blowing out your heart.
Yes. Yeah. We see a decrease, especially with the prescription non-steroidals. We see decrease in kidney function, raising blood pressure, doubling and tripling the risk of heart attack and stroke. In fact, that's why they took, there used to be three COX-2 inhibitors on the market that were prescription, Celebrex, Vioxx, and Bextra.
Right.
Now there's only one left because the others just had the unfortunate adverse effect of killing too many people.
Right, and so, I know with the curcumin, we talked about it addresses all channels of inflammation. It's very balancing. So I know that's got to be part of this whole piece here that we're looking at.
You're absolutely right. So the way that curcumin works and why it doesn't have those same adverse effects is it doesn't do anything nasty to Mother Nature. It does not drop a nuclear device on any single stream or rivulet that's feeding that river.
Right.
It just gently modulates each pathway. So curcumin touches every single pathway that feeds that river without wiping out any one. And that's why you don't see the adverse effects. And that's why it's so safe. And that's why it is so beneficial, is because you don't have to worry about reducing kidney function. You don't have to worry about stomach bleeding or gastrointestinal bleeding or ulcers or ulcerations or, God forbid, perforated ulcers.
Right.
Because that just doesn't happen with curcumin.
Wow. And I know, is it kind of calming for your lower digestive tract? Because I keep reading about, you know, for the colitis and for the Crohn's, and those are kind of inflammatory diseases anyway. Maybe it's the inflammation component in there that's actually doing the trick. But then again, we've got the anti-cancer. So, I mean, I think that's really exciting too. You know, if you can take something that's going to be, I like to eat a lot of hot peppers because I've always heard that's really good about keeping your colon polyps under control. But I think keeping the inflammation down and helping regular cell growth due to the antioxidant, I think that's maybe another key?
Absolutely. You know, they found that by reducing overall inflammation in the small intestine and the large intestine, sometimes called the colon,
right,
that by reducing that inflammation, that it reduces cancer risk. And also reducing oxidative stress reduces cancer risk. But another thing that reduces cancer risk of the gastrointestinal tract is making sure that train is moving along at a nice pace. People who have a lot of constipation issues, they hold on to their waste too long, and there's too much of an opportunity for those toxins to leak back into the body. So
sure.
We want to make sure people are drinking lots of water, getting exercise, having a nice high-fiber diet. Those are all things that greatly contribute to helping to reduce your risk of colon polyps, colon cancer, other types of cancers of the GI tract.
Oh, yeah. And as I talked a little bit earlier, you know, our diet, we're actually like missing 10 major nutrients, and fiber is one of those, according to the recent study. But, you know, I'm looking here about curcumin helping with like fatty liver. It's also, and I think it also helps with blood sugar and kind of helps with diabetes. Tell me a little bit more about that.
Well, there's certain pathways there's a couple of ways that curcumin may be helping with diabetes. And one of the pathways is the fact that when you have a lot of issues with the pancreas, especially when you have pancreatitis or low-level pancreatitis, what is that? That's inflammation of the pancreas. And what does curcumin do? Curcumin alleviates inflammation. There's this little area on the pancreas called the islets of Langerhans.
Right.
Very romantic name, but it's the area where the insulin is produced.
Right.
And if there's excessive levels of inflammation and oxidative stress, those little fellows don't function the way they're supposed to. So by removing some of these obstacles, we allow the pancreas to do what the pancreas is supposed to do.
Right.
But secondarily, some of the issues we see with type 2 diabetes has to do with the fact that the cells aren't listening to the insulin as much anymore. You know, insulin is a taxicab. The goal, the role of insulin is to pick up sugar in the bloodstream and carry it inside the cell so it can be used to be burned for energy.
In the Krebs cycle.
Yeah,
so, I remember having to memorize that.
So when we see insulin is out there trying to transport the sugar, you may have high levels of insulin and high levels of blood sugar in the blood, but if the cells are becoming resistant, if the doorways are getting narrower and they're not letting that insulin in.
And that's like the type 2 diabetes that we always talk about. That's
the
insulin resistance.
They call that insulin resistance.
Right.
And there's some preliminary studies that show that curcumin can play a big role in helping to prevent insulin resistance or helping to return the functionality of the cells more towards normal so they can listen to the signals of insulin again. So I think it shows great promise. I can't wait to see. There are some studies that have been done thus far on curcumin and diabetes, but I can't wait to see. I think that's going to be the next big thing in the world of diabetes is to see how curcumin plays a role in helping the body in a more healthy manner manage blood sugar.
Wow, that's awesome. I know, you know, we talk a lot about cinnamon. Cinnamon is kind of fast acting, and that'll bring your blood glucose down pretty rapidly, bring the points down. I've seen it drop people 20, 30, 40 points just with a little bit of supplementation. So, I mean, cinnamon's another one. I'm kind of thinking in my mind already, okay, there's going to be new formulations with cinnamon and maybe a lot of the other things that are out there, you know, the chromium picolinate and so forth that are really good for controlling this type 2 diabetes, and then maybe throwing a little bit of maybe a new extract or maybe still the BCM95. So is Terry working on anything like that at Europharma? Are you guys got some new things under development?
You never know what's going to be coming down the pipeline.
I don't want to put you on the spot, but
we'll see.
I bet he is working on that. He's such a brilliant person.
He is a brilliant person.
I've been to a lot of his lectures. Of course, I've had dinner with him and so forth at some of the conferences and stuff. He's just fun to be around. He really is. And he does a radio show, I think, too, doesn't he?
He does. I believe it's on Saturday mornings, and it's web-based. So.
Oh, yeah, that's great.
You know, another thing I forgot to mention,
sure.
We were talking
oh, sure.
about diabetes, is one of the issues with diabetes is the bad things that happen as the result of having levels of high blood sugar for long periods of time.
Yeah.
So you increase your risk for kidney disease, you increase your risk for heart disease.
And neuropathy, eye damage. I've seen people lose their limbs, too. That's really... In fact, a good friend of mine had to have his toes basically, you know, taken, and it was really sad because he had such a horrible infection, and then he ended up passing away. They just couldn't get everything under control, and it's really sad. So, you know, if we can do prevention, I always think prevention is the best way to go.
Well, you know, if you can, one of the first steps in that damage that occurs anywhere is inflammation, because one of the most irritating things in the whole wide world to the inside of your blood vessels is sugar. High levels of sugar is very irritating to the insides of blood vessels, whether those blood vessels are in the kidney or the brain or behind the eye or leading down to the toes. But the first step in damage is inflammation. And if we can help hold that inflammation at bay, just think of how much healthier individuals with diabetes can live.
Wow. Yeah, I'm just thinking about that. Now, we're not encouraging people to eat more sugar because sugar is a drug. It's really bad for you. You should avoid it. But every now and then you like to have a holiday, maybe a donut or something. And if you're taking the curcumin, then you can kind of say, well, you know, I've got a balancing thing going on here. And yeah, I kind of cheated and I got a little bit of sugar that I shouldn't have. And, you know, I don't maybe have to worry quite as much about it. But obviously, you know, soda is just a sugar bomb. Yeah, I've seen the pictures of where, you know, they'll show a can of soda and they'll show a bag of how much sugar is there. So, yeah, you know, you really, sugar's a poison. You really want to avoid it. All the studies, everything that I read, you know, sugar is very bad.
Yeah, it's the worst thing for people with type 2 diabetes. But unfortunately, everything gets turned into sugar in our bloodstream.
Right,
so,
in the right place.
All of our carbs do. And so when individuals with diabetes, they may be just as good can possibly be, and they stay away from the sugary sodas and they don't eat the donuts, but they have to eat something. We always have some level of blood sugar. And people with type 2 diabetes, of course, the healthier you eat, the better it's usually kept under control.
Correct.
But they still do tend to run on the high side, and that's why I think it's so important to try to prevent that inflammatory damage that can occur with long-term exposure.
Right. And to watch the carbs. I mean, a lot of people don't realize that, you know, the pizza, the pastas and so forth, and some of the breads. I mean, some of those.
Potatoes and rice.
Yeah,
and,
right. Yeah. I was looking at the other day a comparison between a high-fiber bread, wheat bread, and a chocolate candy bar, and the wheat bread actually per serving contained more sugar or converted to sugar more in your body than the candy bar. That kind of blew me away, but I guess that the science was there. Another thing that we really haven't talked about, there's some diseases that can actually help get great benefit from the curcumin. I'm reading this book from Curcumin, the 21st Century Cure by Dr. Jan McBaron, MD, ND, naturopathic doctor. We do give this book away out at Merryman. If you're interested in learning more about products, we have a lot of great information, free booklets, pamphlets, and so forth. But in this book, she talks about it being beneficial for multiple sclerosis and even for Parkinson's. And I know on the multiple sclerosis end of it, I think because it's very beneficial for maybe protecting the brain cells and the neurons, would that also be due to the inflammation, or what do you know about that?
Well, you know, in all of these diseases, we see abnormal levels of inflammation and mm-hmm. abnormal levels of oxidative stress. So, for example, in Parkinson's disease, there's an area of the brain that starts to die off prematurely. It's called the substantia nigra.
Right.
The scientists are still trying to figure out, why does this happen? What triggers this process in some individuals? And we have some clues, but they don't have everything firmed up yet. We know that a lot of pesticide exposure is implicated in Parkinson's, but there's some individuals who develop this disease and they've had virtually none. So
they're
still working on causative factors. But something that we do know is that area of the brain does have higher levels of inflammation, and it does have extraordinary levels of oxidative stress.
Okay.
Because curcumin does cross the blood-brain barrier, and it can bathe the brain in this anti-inflammatory substance that helps to reduce the inflammation, but is also a superior antioxidant, so it helps to arrest some of the oxidative damage. So
wow.
I think there's some really cool initial work being done on curcumin mm-hmm. and Parkinson's disease. I think there's so much more we can do for these people, especially those individuals that are having issues with it at a very young age.
Yes.
Okay. There's also been some research that shows that curcumin might actually protect some of the neurons in the brain that help to make dopamine. And dopamine is one of the
yes,
compounds
it is for Parkinson's, right?
Depleted in Parkinson's disease. So I think that it's unlike drugs. Drugs are like an arrow. There's one target, it's trying to hit, and you have one arrow in your quiver. But when you're dealing with herbs, because they work in so many different ways, it's more like a shotgun where it's providing all kinds of different benefits in all kinds of different directions. And so I think that as science moves on and we see more and more research, especially in neurosciences, that we'll see more and more ways in which curcumin can play a role to help promote health.
Awesome. Well, to wrap everything up real quickly, you know, curcumin, we've talked about it being beneficial for osteoarthritis, back pain, fibromyalgia, and other painful muscular skeletal conditions. Beneficial for the lung and the liver, for your brain, Alzheimer's, digestion, heart disease, depression, diabetes, obesity, cancer, just to name a few. So it's one of these things that it's really hard to believe, but Cheryl, you've given us a lot of great evidence, great information. I love your analogies. Getting the train out of the station. I'll never forget that one. But anyway, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much. And we'll definitely have you back on again. We need to talk about glutathione and some other things that your company's doing. And you're so very easy to understand. I think that's what the listeners are telling me is you explain things very untechnical. And that's what we like. Cheryl, thank you so much.
Well, thank you. It's always a pleasure.
The preceding information was not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Always seek the advice of your qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition.